Please open up your books of Tobit to the book of Spider-Man 2, chapter 1, verse 1, which reads, "She looks at me every day, Mary Jane Watson. Oh, boy, if she only knew how I felt about her. But she can never know. I made a choice once to live a life of responsibility, a life she can never be a part of. Who am I? I'm Spider-Man, given a job to do. And I'm Peter Parker, and I, too, have a job." You see, Peter Parker struggles to manage his personal life, his job, and being Spider-Man. And comedians deal with the same thing. Now, I wouldn't compare talking about how you used to masturbate until your penis went numb as a superpower, but being a comic does take a huge chunk of your time. Between traveling, practicing, writing, if you can call it that, and more often than not having your gigs booked on the busiest days of the week, you find yourself missing a lot of parties, forgetting a lot of birthdays, letting people down, and constantly begging for gas money. Returning guest and good friend Daniel Palmer joins me to talk about the woes of comedy life and much more on this episode of The Church of Tobit. Recorded on Daniel's front lawn in my beautiful Nissan Versa named Blondie on September 16th, 2018. Solitary?
I think is the word you're trying. I don't know. I'm dumped.
Dude, my Instagram has really opened my eyes to how bad at spelling I am.
Really?
Because Instagram opened my eyes to how bad at spelling everybody else is.
Fucking consecutively twice, it was Phoenix, Arizona. And it was Daniel Plammer.
The Plammer... believe it or not, I understand. I don't know why it feels like it makes more sense, but it...
Well, because I looked and I had accidentally put that on SoundCloud too, Daniel Plummer. So I'm like, okay, that had to have been an autocorrect thing. Like, autocorrect had to have switched it, because there's no way there definitely is a way, but I have a little bit of faith in myself that I wouldn't do that twice. And that's usually where I fuck up, is like when it looks like the word I'm trying to spell, but it's not.
Yeah.
But it is an actual word, so like I get it mixed up.
That's a big hang up I have, like when I'm, when I rarely do it, but like when I'm tweeting or something, I'll sit there, I have to read it two or three times to make sure I've got it.
Right.
Because, I don't know, you'll be trying to tweet this witty comment on society or whatever, and they're like, oh, shit, I didn't space three of the words. Now
and that's, stupid. Yeah, you're done. You're done.
And the internet, man, they will fucking snatch your chain. People you don't even know will come out of nowhere and be like, oh, you see this, you dumb motherfucker? This is how you fucked up saying that.
Like, that's why people lash.
Sorry.
excuse me, I'm sorry. I thought I was intelligent. That's why people lash so hard whenever one of the, like, political comedians make a mistake. Because it's the same thing. It's Bill Maher. Like, when he made, like, a racial joke.
Yeah.
And everyone lost their shit on him. And, like, it was a little uncalled for, because, like, it was just a mildly unfunny race-based joke. Like, it wasn't crazy.
Yeah.
But that's what you get when your whole gimmick is, I'm smarter than you, and that's why you should think I'm funny.
Yeah, or I'm smarter than you, here's how I prove it.
Right.
You know, by nitpicking every word you've ever said.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I don't know if this is fair, if we're going to do it. Like, this whole thing of, like, going back and rereading people's tweets and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're like, well... Yes, this tweet was, a lot of times you'll be like, yeah, this tweet was, I see that's mildly offensive,
right.
But like, when you do it yourself, you go back and look on their time, you're like, oh, they made a bunch of shitty jokes.
Right.
Around the same time.
Yeah.
About.
The certain
all
topic.
All sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, this person was doing something else, and then like, through the weirdness of Hollywood, they all of a sudden are in charge of this, like, $40 billion property worldwide. So everybody's like, I don't know if the new Ninja Turtles needs to be headed by a guy that feels that way about women and blacks. And you're like, well, it's a Ninja Turtle movie, it's Ninja Turtles, dude.
Why are we trying to make it a thing? That is a weird, that's a weird thing that's popped up recently, just like Twittergate, just going back and, okay, look, even if you said that one of the most fucked up things ever in 2005 on Twitter, it's like, what, should that really be like damning evidence?
Well, it's like, it's coming from the generation that should be most against it. It's coming from young kids that are marred with videos that have leaked online of them just doing dumb shit. That they, like, all those cringe compilations that are just, like, kids with their phone, like, they're, like, singing into it.
Dude, that is, like, that whatever is the my fuck. Crack. That, that gives me, my friend Brittany turned me on to the whole cringe compilations, and it's like, that's like the closest I have come to cutting myself. As far as like the emotional trauma that I am willingly putting on myself. Yeah. Like, you see, like, some of like the furry guys, like, having their claws and like growling at the screen. And it's not that they're doing that. All right. That's not what has me fucked up. I know people do weird shit. I've posted way weirder shit of me doing stuff online. It's the whole me. I'm trying to find out what brought this person here, and also knowing that the guy growling at the camera is getting like five girls extremely wet right now who are also into that. Like, this is an age where, like, it's not, it's being encouraged. Like, the guy did that because he has like a Tumblr page that's getting millions of hits. Like, growling guy 97, love his work.
But it's like, most of the hits he's getting are from people being like, look at this fucking weirdo. Like,
that is a good point. But is that even wrong? Like, is it, like, it's still people paying attention to him?
Well, that's what I mean, like, it's still people paying attention to you, but you, like that dude that got booed off the stage at Montreal last year.
Right.
Remember that Viner or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Some of those early Vine celebrities, like, did other stuff.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I'm saying? Like, we're already people that were doing things, you know, as far as making content, and then this thing came out.
Right.
And they started utilizing it. And, like, that's all fine. That's what I'm saying. You just have to, I don't care if you're going to, like, if you're going to go to social media to
be weird.
To get your instant burn.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you have to have something to follow up on. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to, okay, they're all here because they saw your YouTube videos.
Yeah.
What are you going to do to keep them here?
Because
you can't just play your YouTube videos that they've already watched. And you can't make one on stage.
Like a fucking director just like, this piece is called 800 Skittles in My Mouth.
It'd be you for 45 seconds talking in front of a blue screen, and then for the next 45 minutes you making crazy jump cuts and shit, and just like,
it's like they're on stage like performing in jump cut style.
All right, hey, what, check. Those things are so goddamn hyper. I'm like, oh man, like, those videos will give me motion sickness more than,
right, because it's like, okay, to some extent, I understand the attention span of young people. I understand cutting the fat just to appeal to the most. But, like, they're not even in the same spot.
No.
When they're it's such a weird,
they're bad at it.
Yeah.
But it's, like, it's purposeful.
Right.
You know, like, that's the stylistic choice that they're making. For some reason, my YouTube keeps suggesting social justice warrior cringe compilations. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know why it keeps doing it. Because I'm like,
it's because they know who you are, Daniel.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm always agreeing with these quote-unquote social justice warriors. I'm like, yeah, you shouldn't be saying that on a campus. That's pretty inflammatory. And, like, I watched one earlier today, and like, I was just getting mad at it. Mm-hmm. I was like, it was all these like, quote unquote snowflakes.
Yeah.
They were like ripping up this dude's sign, who had like, a Trump supporter who had a sign about immigration. And the thing they love to do is be like, oh, you can't handle somebody else's opinions, can you? Can't handle somebody else's opinions, can you? I'm like, neither can you. You're mad.
That's why you're doing this thing right now.
But they like ripped up his thing, and then like a security officer came out and was like, hey, you can't do that. Don't rip up their signs anymore. Like, you can stand here and protest or whatever, but you can't like, you can't touch them, you can't rip up their signs. And then nobody else did anything. Like, right. Nobody else ripped up another sign. Yeah. They just stood back and were like, why are they here? Like, why are you letting them here saying these things? And that was the whole video. And I was like, you can't put that on a, like, it's a cringe compilation, but you're trying to make it out as like, oh, look at these guys failing so hard. Yeah. I'm like, no, they acted accordingly to the rules. Like, they ripped up signs. They were told they can't rip up signs anymore. So they stopped and just started like,
yeah, I don't like cringe that comes from a opinion based cringe rather than that's one of my like fears.
Yeah, let's just all laugh at emo kids.
Yeah,
like that's what I can deal with, because like it's like watching a puppy fall downstairs. Like, right. Oh, look at the little guy, look at the little guy. He's just learning.
Yeah,
he's just learning.
He's just making his way through life.
Yeah, like watching.
That's one of my fears, man, is like I'm gonna end up on one of those like comedian destroys political correctness and stuff. It's like, dude, that's not even remotely what the fuck I'm trying to do.
You have to, one thing I'm like, you have to make those videos your goddamn self. Nobody's gonna do it for you. Like,
well, they'll do it for the big guys.
There's that dude that's all his career is. That Steven Hofstetter guy is just like, comedian owns heckler.
That like, shit Ginger is so comic tiny.
Owns heckler.
I would even have more respect if he was just like, I deal with a heckler in the crowd. Or, but like the fact that he's like some random comedian is dealing. I'm like, dude, you posted it. I see your like, YouTube channel.
Well, that's his whole thing. That Steven Hofstetter dude. Like, that's his whole thing. And because that's his thing, like you'll watch some of those videos, you'll be like, that died down like 2 seconds after you said the first thing.
Yeah.
And you kept going for like 3 minutes. You're like, what are you, an idiot? I'm like, he shut up.
Yeah.
He shut up. He apologized.
It's like the whole art of dealing with hecklers is just if they heckle you, to shut them down.
Yeah.
Not to just bully them. That's kind of what I did in Baton Rouge last night.
Well, no, that's always fun to be like, what are you doing, man? And like, point out to somebody. Most of the time they don't realize how drunk they are until you're like, hey man, you just stopped everything to be this drunk. Like, that is fun to make them just like sit there real sad. Like, I got heckled in Finian's one time.
It is fun if the crowd's behind you. Sometimes the crowd is just like, yeah, fuck this guy, keep going. Yeah. But like,
did you see my Heart of the City taping?
No,
they hated me. Neither did they.
Yeah, nobody did.
Neither did Kevin Hart's team.
I don't even have a fucking video because I got disqualified. Because I did that thing where, like, I just did take no for an answer, and I just kept hammering the 9/11 until the buzzer hit. Like, you're out of time. You bombed for 7 fucking minutes.
Yeah, that's what you told. That was around the time where you were like, if it's going south, I'm just going to pull out 9/11.
2 minutes in, you hear me? So here's the thing about
9/11, it's crazy.
Like, shit. That was weird. But what happened in Baton Rouge last night, and the guy pulled me aside after the show was over, and he in nicer words told me that I was being a titty baby. He was just like, man, you know, the audience actually liked you a lot more than you were letting on, man. They were going for it. But here's what happened. I did.
Everybody's calling me fat and gay. Like high school all over again.
Like I did the Christmas bit. Where, you know, like I talk about my neighbors decorating early for Christmas. I just dissect that they're mentally depressed. Yeah. I just go through. And, like, nobody was feeling it. And, like, the less and less that people laughed, the angrier I got. To the point where I was just doing this mad rant.
You're not even telling jokes anymore.
To the point where I was like, they were looking at me like I was the dad ruining the dinner table conversation. Just killing the vibe.
Your stepdad got too drunk.
But it's okay. I brought him back with abortions.
What is going on in Baton Rouge?
Dude, I feel like the biggest thing I still need to work on. And
I feel like abortion jokes never go over the well. Like abortions, they're never what you thought they'd be.
I feel like the biggest thing I still need to work on is just understanding people. Because, like, that's my biggest thing is just, like you said, like, I did the Christmas thing didn't work, but the abortions thing did. And so through the rest of the set, I'm just like, who are you people? Like, I don't even...
That was my first reaction was just like, what is happening down there? Like,
And you know what that is probably? It's probably just me not realizing the vibe I'm putting out. Like, that Christmas bit actually might have done well if I didn't... Dude, I went in hard pretty fast with the Christmas stuff. Yeah. A comic had talked about Christmas before.
So you're like, perfect.
Yeah, and
they're already primed for it.
And I was just like, you're talking about Christmas? I was like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? And, like, I was listening to the recording, and, like, I had joked about, like, the mic cord being tangled. And in my mind... this is how I sounded in my mind on stage. I was just like, dude, you guys didn't think about this mic cord thing at all, did you? Super lighthearted, whatever. And then I heard the recording, and I was just like, you guys didn't think through this mic cord thing at all. Like that tone, too. I was like, Jesus, am I a diva? Like,
spotlight's a little bright, but I don't know.
Oh, I hate
that.
Your
house, your rules.
Oh, I hate the bright spotlight.
Yeah, man. The best shows I've ever done were just like in the dark in a corner.
Yeah.
Like of some building,
right.
Some bar, comic book store.
You're just barely lit. Because like when it's...
I need to be able to see you.
Exactly.
So that I can like...
Especially when it's a bar show. Like I can't remember what the show was, but like the audience was 3 feet away from me and I couldn't see them. I was just talking to a black void.
No.
Because that's how bright the... It's like, I think Todd Glass, he was talking about like how comedy clubs set up shit. He's just like, just because the spotlight has a tin setting doesn't mean that's what you do.
Well, have you ever like, not to bring up other podcasts, I got reprimanded last time I did that. But on his...
Thank you guys for tuning in. We're going to see.
That's sort of like his bit is about, or one of his bits is like, dim the lights, you know? Like,
right.
Set the mood. And then, yeah, he brought it into a special. But, yeah, man, like, that 1,000%, like, you've been to Laughing Skull. You've seen fucking, like, small and contained that room is, you know? Like, I think that's why it's one of the best clubs in the country.
Because comedy clubs are supposed to, like, it's supposed to feel like it's a little underground.
Yeah.
As dumb and as pseudo-edgy as that sound, that's, like, the feel you're trying to go
for.
Exactly. Because in that setting, the abortion joke will go over well, or whatever controversial shit you want to do, because that's kind of the vibe that they set up.
Yeah, good stand-up will always come across as conversatory, you know, like, as a conversation.
Right.
Rather than as a monologue. And that's easier to attain the smaller the group is. So,
dude, my fucking... Ben did this recently. That's why I thought about it. I hate the line, you know, whatever energy you give us is what we're going to give you. Like, and if I was an audience member, my immediate reaction would be like, fuck you, dude.
That's,
like,
yeah, that's because me and you are contrarians. You tell me to have a good time, I'll kick your ass, motherfucker. Just relax, enjoy yourself, tell me what to do, you piece of shit.
Just flip them off and go back. I hate the host, and like, I'm guilty of just trying to get the energy up you know, like, okay, like, how you guys doing? Oh, that's not good enough. Let me, how are we fucking doing? But, like, some guys are hyping it up like we're, like, the audience is about to see some wrestling. Or like a UFC event or something. They're like, your next comedian is, let's get fucking excited for your next comedian, Timothy Watkins. Walk up stage. So my dogs are weird.
My jerk-off technique is weird. Yeah, man. A lot of times, like, when I do shows, I go out and I won't say anything for about 30 to 45 seconds.
Right.
And, like, just to get them used to my energy.
Right,
like,
exactly.
My energy is real slow.
Yeah.
Like, just tortoise, you know, just real slow and steady.
Right.
I'm just going to be talking into this microphone. I'm not gonna fuck a stool. Like, I'm not gonna be crazy. I don't have that kind of energy. Like, physically.
Yeah.
I don't have that. I'd be like, like gasping for air. So.
I always want to pick the brain of like the very physical comedians, where like, their joke is, man, you ever see someone do like this and they put the mic down and they start acting out? I'm just like, do you write that down, like weird leg thing, then weird, or do you just fucking go?
Oh, you know they do. It's watching those like comics that like you can tell they wrote this whole joke out.
Yeah.
And now they're saying it beat for beat. You can tell where they thought they were gonna get laughs.
Oh,
he thought this was clearly a punchline.
Right.
It's not. Like, it's a minute detail. Like, you thought your grandmother being Jewish was going to be a punchline, so you waited for, two seconds afterwards. You know, like, that's just a detail of the story.
Right.
Like,
I learned that, like, the first year doing exactly that. But, like, I realized it's like, you should go on stage, not like, oh, this is going to suck, but, like, being on your toes as far as it's very easy to adjust to an audience laughing, rather than adjusting to an audience not laughing where you thought they were going to.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Because some comics, like, they'll daydream. Instead of thinking, like, okay, if this doesn't go right, I'll do this, whatever, they'll be like, yeah, and they'll do this, wait for the laughter, they'll do this. Yeah. Okay, I'm ready, I got my 15 minutes. They go up and they just eat it.
Yes.
They just...
Just like...
Man, shit's crazy, man. It's crazy.
World's crazy. I love it. Yeah, it's really good.
That's my impersonation of Ben roasting somebody. Man, Timothy Watkins, man, that guy's crazy, man. Yeah. That guy ain't right in the fucking head. Dude, it's fucking.
That's
wild.
Ben Segway is like.
Man, this shit, man. Daniel Palmer, man, man, you stupid. You ain't shit, Daniel. You crazy.
And he's
dude.
Right. That's the fucked up part.
I'll never forget, because the one time you and me did a roast battle, you owned me, because I thought, I did what we're talking about, I thought I had the right roasts, and they just didn't
well,
go
that's,
well
that's what happened with me and Joe, like,
right.
I wrote like three one-liners, and then this motherfucker had pages, pages on me, and I was like, oh, shit. And he fucking obliterated me. And since then, I've done nothing but just, like, I've got, well, not in this phone. I got a new phone, so, like, half my material's gone.
Yeah.
I forgot to, like, email it to myself, all the notes.
Oh, shit. ever since?
All of my, I've been writing roast jokes for Joe.
Right.
And all those are gone. I remember a couple of them, but.
Just preparing.
Yeah, because I'm like, I want a fucking rematch, dude.
Well,
I've been thinking about it.
When Joe showed up, he really did bring, like, the insult humor a little bit. Because, like, I remember, like, the first 5 weeks of him hosting, like, everybody just shit on who was going on before them or went on after.
That's what it really turned into, and I was like, I don't like this. I just was like, all right, give it up for your next comic. He's a piece of shit. Fuck this dude. Fuck it. Well, he's like, fuck Daniel Palmer as a record label. He's like, fuck Daniel Palmer as a record label and as a motherfucking crew. And if you're down with Daniel Palmer, fuck you too. like that Snoop Dogg thing he's about to do.
I feel like, but I feel like bringing someone up like, this next guy's a piece of shit, we hate him, blah, blah. I feel like that's better than being like, this next comic is hilarious. You guys are going to love him.
I promise you.
This is going to go great.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, don't make a morality call on me when you're bringing me up on stage. Tell them where I'm from. Tell them my name. Yeah. That's all you gotta say. You know what I'm saying?
It's I don't even give a fuck if they don't say where I'm from.
I don't give a fuck either. But just tell them my name is really all. Like, I don't need you to.
This next comic is here right now, and he's walking to the stage. Give it up for Daniel Palmer, everybody.
When it's somebody who is a friend of mine, like somebody like you or Devron or Ben or somebody, and they're like, this is a good friend of mine, I like that.
Yeah.
You know, that makes me feel a part of everything and all that stuff. But then some people do it, and you're like, we ain't friends, motherfucker. Like,
yeah, that's kind of how I am,
because I smoke cigarettes
too.
With you out back. You think we're friends?
That's kind of how I am, too. Just like, I really have a sense of humor about anything everybody shits on me about. But then, like, the wrong guy will make the joke, and it's just like, dude, I don't fucking know you. And just like, and this isn't a roast. This isn't, like, celebrity status. It's like, you just randomly shitted on me.
Yeah.
Just to do it. And now I hate you. And now I do not, we're not going to be friends.
Yeah. Now you remind me of,
because my thighs aren't that fucking big. Asshole.
What do you got to say about that, huh?
Oh my god, dude. Oh, it's good stuff, man. How long have you been doing this?
What, stand-up?
How long have you been in my car?
I don't know, maybe 20 minutes, 40, 30 minutes, 40 minutes.
Well, how long have you been doing stand-up?
Oh.
You were serious?
5 years, altogether. Like most shitty comics, I don't like to own up to that number because I'm not, quote unquote, where I'm supposed to be in 5 years and all that stuff. Like,
do you have a favorite show that you've done? Not a favorite room, but do you have just like one show in your mind where you're just like, yeah, everything was going right that night?
One of my first big shows, I got to open up for Dave Stone at Dueling Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up first, and then Berlin went after me. And I did good. Berlin bombed, because it's Berlin. And then Dave brought an opener, a guy named Austin St. John. Really funny dude.
Right.
He crushed. And then Dave got up and murdered because he's Dave Stone. That was a great show.
Yeah.
That was a great show. Even though Berlin bombed, that was everybody had fun. It was a respectable place, quote unquote. Because I've had great shows, but like I say, they're in the back of a comic book store.
That right, exactly.
15 people saw.
I mean, that's just where we're at right now. It's like we get the great shows every once in a while, but I mean, for the most part, we're bar comedians right now.
Yeah,
this is the way it is. What it is.
It's like that. It's probably on its way out, but there was just that.
What, your comedy career?
Yeah. There was that stand-up boom in the mid-2000s that happened again, and it reminded me a lot of hearing stories of like the 80s and early 90s stand-up boom, where you'd read books by these comics, and they're talking about like, it's like the Wild West. It was like anywhere there was a microphone, there was a show.
Yeah.
And that's what it is now. It's like house shows are such a big thing, you know?
Right.
To the point to where, like, there have been more than one house show, comedy shows on television.
Yeah.
At this point.
It's, so like, it's like, fuck, who, the guy from Workaholics, he had one.
Adam Devine.
It was kind of a gimmick.
Yeah, that was a huge super stage. Produced. Yeah, yeah but it was still an outside show and everything right. like that.
There was one that Mark Norman did, and really? it was at a house. I don't know if it made it on TV, but it definitely was like a big YouTube channel, and that was the thing. It was a house show.
Oh, okay. You know, whatever. Well, yeah, there was Vice had a show that like.
Yeah, the
this house had been owned by comics and just yeah. passed down to other comics
and comics stuff. Just lived there and just did shows.
Yeah,
I would love fucking to do right. That.
You know, like I guess we'll just have to start doing it around here because it's not a thing here. You know, but like you go out to like you know Oklahoma or wherever the fuck
yeah.
that I've never been. And you know, like you'll see them up like it seems like a Midwest thing.
Yeah.
More than anything else.
Well, I definitely see like the only way that would be successful is like.
And New York has a lot of those apartment shows.
Right. Exactly. The only place that those are actually successful is where people dig that's what's happening. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If we all shacked up in an apartment in Jackson. Just say, yeah, we're having shows every night here. Everyone be like, okay.
It would just be a house party with all the comics and their friends.
Yeah. It would be one of those things where, like, we's like, yeah, we're having a comedy show, and people show up, and then, like, halfway through, it's just like, you feel like doing comedy tonight? Or you just feel like getting drunk?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it'd be a house party with all the comics and their friends, and it'd be dope the first week.
Right.
But then the second week, when none of our friends showed up again, it's like,
well, I guess we're just fucking drinking.
Yeah, it'd just be the comics sitting in a house.
It's like, oh, you guys want to workshop some bits? No. No, we actually do not.
I've been trying to write sketches for the longest time, and, like, I don't have any experience. Like I say, I've looked at scripts online.
Sure.
And read them.
Just to kind of see what
I don't know how to write them.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's really juvenile stuff written down, you know, like in a manner that it's written down. It's really juvenile because it's just like typing and then Batman says, you know, like yeah. stupid shit.
I've been trying that too recently just because I'm starting to realize that's kind of where a stable job is. Like, you know, get in as a comedian, still be a comedian, but, like, because fucking even Bill Burr, like, wrote for the Chappelle Show
yeah.
and whatever. Like, you unprofessional sack of dude. And what is that ringtone?
It's one of them that's in the phone.
Is that, like, your reminder to put the knife down? Like,
it's just something that's in the phone. But my alarm is Annie Up by M.O.P.
Yes. Dude.
That's what I wake up to every day.
There was a whole, like, best of M.O.P., like, 30 songs for $10. And I was just like.
There's only one, and the Busta Rhymes remix version of it that I want.
No, not. But all the whole M.O.P. catalog.
Yeah, I don't care about M.O.P.
Listen, I was just like, hell yeah, I fucking love Annie Up. Bought it, and then, like, I slowly realized that I wasn't that big of an M.O.P. fan.
Yeah.
I was just like, damn, all of these songs sound the same or horrible.
Yeah, Annie Up's the only good one. That's why I couldn't name another M.O.P. song.
Right.
And it's crazy that they're named M.O.P. Mop. It's like, these are the dudes that wrote the song, If You Talk Back, Kidnap That Fool.
Got kidnapped by Mop.
Yeah.
Just put you in your mom's house. You're not allowed to leave.
Damn. That song is so hard, man. He's...
And yeah. But see, that's not a bad life to be a one-hit wonder. If you just know how to... If you know how to properly milk it,
yeah,
you know, do you know pretty much just doing middle class,
yeah,
middle class wage. You know, you do a couple shows each year, that makes up for you know the whole year because people come to see that one fucking song. Yeah. You don't even you could just do Ante Up, 8 times. Right?
Yeah.
Like, Vanilla Ice just has to do Ice Ice Baby 8 times. Everyone claps. This guy's the fucking best. Oh, dude, I saw a YouTube video of Vanilla Ice right after Ice Ice Baby had gone big.
Yeah.
And, like, he opened up on another song, and, like, the crowd started booing.
Yeah.
And he was like, don't worry, you guys, it's coming eventually. And then he did three other, like...
It's coming eventually. Because you can't yeah. just play Ice Ice Baby 4 times in a row.
Right.
Even if that's what the crowd wants.
Yeah. Like, you could, though. You could, I mean...
No, man, because, like, music critics are there, and they're going to write, and, like, all he did was this. And then people are going to read that and be like, I don't want to go to his shows if it's all it's going to be. Even though they'd be one of the ones booing.
Yeah.
But dude, you got to play the game.
Like, dude, even Carlos Mencia. Like, I was in Arkansas doing a show, and they were talking about, like, oh, yeah, dude, Carlos Mencia's coming down. He sold out the
fucking... He didn't just steal one joke.
Yeah.
He stole a bunch of them motherfuckers.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. But doesn't that... Dude, that's just... Okay. He went through the whole ringer. Joe Rogan exposed his ass. Joe Rogan wasn't the only one, but he was definitely the angriest.
Well, that was the biggest, right. That video yeah. of them at the store or whatever.
But he went through everything. He pretty much did everything except, you know, walking naked down the street and us yelling shame at him.
Which I would have been fun to do.
Definitely would have. Oh, you know, dude, I think about that.
I would love to have shamed Carlos Mencia.
I think about that shit all the time, dude. Just like, as barbaric as public executions are, you know you would show up to a public execution.
No, I wouldn't show up to a public execution, but a public shaming, 1,000%.
Just throwing tomatoes at him or something?
Like, if I grew up in an era where public executions were a thing, probably I would. But, like, yeah, no, if we just started reinstating them, I'd be like, no, this is way fucked up.
Well, because you know in this
just
day...
like Arizona starts doing it out of nowhere. And you know it would be Arizona.
I'm just like, dude, the comedy scene in Arizona is blowing the fuck up. They have an MC, they have a feature, they have a headliner, and then they kill 3 people. They just fucking...
Bring it back to, like, vaudeville. Yeah, there's a banjo act, there's 3 comics, and there's 3 deaths.
There's 3 people on their knees with a bag, and, like, the headliner has a mallet. The headliner has a fucking mallet. It's just like, all right!
Gallagher's career is reinstated as an executioner.
Murder raincoats, $5. Selling like hotcakes. People...
He's got, like, a green striped executioner's hoodie.
Are you ready? Does, like...
We just turned Gallagher into Negan.
But, dude, you know that would put some more juice in his ass. He replaces the mallet with the barbed wire. He does, like, he does 3 very edgy Trump jokes, and everyone's just like, oh, this guy gets it. He knows what's going on in the world. And then he's like, all right, you ready?
Yeah. Y'all ready? Yeah. Y'all ready to kill some molesters?
But you know, if that became a thing, eventually, it would just be like today, where it would start off with, you know, everyone on death row. All the horrible monsters, they're getting killed. And then 10 years later, it's just like, yeah, this guy made a rape joke on Twitter. Are you guys ready? Yeah.
That's what, like, it's a weird catch-22 because, like, when these people...
Well, most public executions are.
Well, I was getting off of that. These people that, like, when they get fired for inflammatory tweets or something...
Uh-huh.
Most of the time, I'm like, yeah, they should have been fired. Like,
right.
They said something that was not just insensitive, but clearly biased towards somebody.
It wasn't,
and they're in a position to where they have to help people.
Yeah,
or like they have to work with people.
And most of the situations were like, oh yeah, that dude or girl definitely deserved to be fired. It wasn't even
like that. Pam Clark or whatever her name is, like, that bitch should have been fired.
It's not just, that's way past, like, oh, they said something controversial. It's like, they said something that gave us insight onto how shitty of a human being they
were. Yeah, and, like, you're in charge of, it's like, if you're a baker and you're like, facts suck, I'm not going to be like, shut this bakery down. But if you work at the DMV and you're like, gay people suck,
Yeah, you're definitely going to be treating people some type of way.
Exactly. Like, you're going to be discriminatory. So fire their ass. You know what I'm saying? It's like...
But, dude, after you spend, like, a day at the DMV, you start to hate gay people, too. You start to have fucked up opinions about people, too, just because you're miserable. Like, if you put a microphone in front of me right when I'm getting out of the DMV, I'm definitely going to jail.
I've never had a problem doing stuff like that. It's because I get insanely blazed before I do a lot of shit.
Right.
So it's like checking out at a store, you know, like I don't ever use those self-checkouts. I'll just stand in line. And, the self-checkouts are weird, you know, like they're taking our jobs, but it does take jobs away from people. It's like, motherfucker, I'm already paying for this. I have to have a membership to your company to even shop here.
Right.
I'm paying for the food. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, like, if I have to check my food out myself.
Right.
What are you doing, Tom, the day manager? The fuck out of here, you know, like, get some employees in here.
Tom's just in the back making girls blow them so they get a cash register. Yeah,
playing on his like switch or some shit. Yeah. Just like, yeah, fucking, you'll be manager in no time, Cindy.
Like, just keep it up, doing great work.
Like, so yeah, man, I people are like, sometimes you don't have time to wait. I'm like, what are you doing? That, like, as soon as you get into the grocery store, you're like, all right, 10 minutes in and out, or the rest of my day is fucked. You know? Yeah. It's like, you're going grocery shopping. You already set aside an hour or two, right?
Exactly.
Wait in line.
I hate that about anything, man. Like, I flew to Boston and Denver for a couple shows. I never realized how much I hated flying. I don't mind flying. I don't mind being in the air. But like...
Going through the airports.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Because fucking... Every time I had flown before, everything had been done for me. Like, either it was a youth group going somewhere, or me and my parents were traveling. Like, you know, I was just, oh, yeah. I don't know why people say they hate flying. It's great and stuff. Until I have to deal with just the... Like, there's just so many moving parts about things I don't give a fuck about. It's just like, dude, I would...
Like, picking a seat?
Yeah.
And all that shit?
Like, dude, I don't... If you... Okay. just let me buy a ticket. I will strip down naked. I will show you my... I'll prove to you I'm not a terrorist in any fucking way. Just let me go through. And, dude, the Denver airport sucks the most because they just have, instead of security...
You see that horse with red eyes?
Oh, dude.
That demon horse.
I felt like I had to apologize... I was...
I'm from Mississippi. I've seen scary shit. That horse is creepy, dude.
Dude, like, what the fuck were they thinking?
No one knows. Everybody I've ever talked to about it, she's like, oh, it's fucking weird, man.
It's like, when I was in the Denver airport, like, I always...
Smoke some weed, dude.
No, dude, I always felt like it had the aura of, like, I was one, like... Looking, I was like one eye contact away from a dude walking over, like telling me how much, like how bad black people are. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like if I didn't play my cards right, I was gonna end up in a fucked up conversation, right?
Yeah.
Because Denver has a very strong, it's not hate, it's heritage vibe.
Yeah, you're like, this is the country where the Ku Klux Klan started.
Yeah.
Like,
which is even scarier. Because it's just like, this is where they got the idea.
Well, what's scary is, like, we know what we're talking about.
Right.
Like, we can spot racists from a mile away.
Yeah.
So when you go somewhere that's, like, so far away from here, and then you see a bunch of racist people, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is weird. Like, I know there's racist people out there that don't.
But it's weird to see them organized.
Exactly.
It's weird to see...
Yeah, like a city full of them. And you went to Denver and Boston.
Yeah. yeah.
That's like two of them.
Dude, every Uber that picked me up told me they were almost in a car wreck. Like, no joke. And even the person from Holiday Inn Express that, you know, like, it's like they have a van that just picks people up from the airport that got a hotel.
Yeah.
Like, we almost got in a car wreck.
Really?
Boston people don't give a fuck, dude. Because we saw, like, like two cars totally totaled. The people that were driving were just on the side of the road smoking a cigarette. Like, not even mad. They're just like, yeah, this is what happens. This is Boston, baby.
That's crazy. I wouldn't expect that. Atlanta's pretty crazy.
Atlanta's...
That expressway is fucking...
Dude, that is sin.
I've never heard the horn honked so many times.
Dude,
because I don't know who they're honking at.
Right.
You know, like, who's honking... Because there's 15 of us all in this cluster, you know, in these four lanes, you know, front and back, there's a group of us. And then just one car in the middle of that honks.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, ah! And, like, freaks out because it's an alarming tone.
Like, that whole spot. Dude, there's a section, I don't know if there is now, because it was a couple years ago when I ran into it. But there was a spot on the Atlanta freeway where just there weren't any lines. Just like, you're driving, good luck. And it wasn't, at first I was just like, okay, clearly I'm missing something.
Yeah, did the paint rub off?
or I'm just like, okay, this is just a thing in big cities that I'm not used to. But then I see, like, every car freaked the fuck out when it happened. And when you got back to the lines, you could tell nobody, like,
was even, like, in a lane.
Yeah, nobody was remote. I'm just like, so, like...
This is the Mad Max section.
Yeah. Oh, dude, speaking of that, I saw, like, there was on one of the billboards that's, like, constantly changing, like, rotating between three or four advertisements, there was one that's just like, Atlanta, you are in the middle of a race war. Wake up. And I almost bumped into the guy in front of me because I was just like, what?
And then the next billboard behind it's a billboard for... a different world on UPN or something.
Yeah.
Why is there a billboard for a rerun show?
I'm just like, dude, that's the shit I would see in, like, Blade Runner or something. Like, that level of just, like, a fucked up dark ad that everybody sees on the way to work. I'm just like, so we don't have lines and we clearly don't have desegregation or something because this is crazy.
Yeah, Atlanta's the biggest city I've ever been to that reminds me exactly of home.
Because, I mean, it's still pretty much the South.
Yes, I mean, it's very much the South, but, like, it... Everywhere's got, you know, rich and poor divided lines
sure.
and everything like that. But this is clearly, it's like... You've got... like the CNN building and like Adult Swim and all this working in downtown, and you go to the other end and you've got like Bankhead and Buckhead and all these places that Outkast rapped about,
right?
And it's way different, and like it reminds me of home in that way of like, okay, I'm near the capital, that's why all the streets are paved,
right?
You know, like once I go, well, Jackson, once you go anywhere out past the capital, the streets are fucked up. But, like, once I go to West Jackson,
uh-huh.
that's where you start seeing, like, burned out houses and shit.
Right.
So it's like...
Atlanta's a weird spot, man. Atlanta, to me, feels a lot like New Orleans. Where, like, there's the cool shit. There's the really cool shit. Where you're like, oh, yeah, dude, fucking Atlanta. But then, and it's the same thing with New Orleans. It's like, oh, dude.
Going down Peachtree and all that
dude,
stuff.
Okay. When I was in high school, and when a little bit when I was in college, I was all about Bourbon Street, man. I was all, dude.
Everybody was.
Oh, dude, we're going to Bourbon Street. And this is like, it's just bars that are close together.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing crazy about...
Yeah, you can stumble from one bar to another.
Yeah.
Like,
And you can pee outside.
Well, you can't, but everybody does.
Everybody does.
Yeah. And it is dope. like to go once every 5 years or something. Yeah. I don't go to Mardi Gras anymore since fucking college, but like,
yeah, because yeah. I've seen titties. It's not a crazy.
Well, say I most nights in New Orleans are like that, just without the floats. Yeah. And for some reason, Mardi Gras seems to make people crazy.
Right.
You know, like I've personally never been involved in like a crime there or anything like that. But the only time I've known anybody to get fucked up was at Mardi Gras.
Right.
It's
just a pass. Everyone just thinks it's a pass to just be as belligerent as
yeah. Exactly. As and yeah, and like fucked up shit. Like my buddy in high school was out with a couple of our friends, and he just got rocked, like with a rock, like somebody just hit him in the head with a rod. Like, didn't rob him. Didn't take anything. Just fucking...
They must follow him on Twitter.
Just walked up and hit him in the head with a rod. And that's what, like... Somebody's so drunk.
Yeah.
And you don't know what their life has been like.
Right,
led
yeah.
up to that moment. So... Most of the time when I see dudes getting mad at other dudes, I'm like, oh, that guy... looks like somebody who fucked that other dude's girl or
right,
something like
exactly.
You know, it's always something weird that even the first dude's not aware of. It's
yeah.
like, oh, he reminds you of your brother, and your brother
yeah,
used
something,
to call you queer.
Yeah.
But yeah, more often than not, it's like just dudes that are insecure, like
right.
He's trying to have sex with my girl, man.
But that's the comparison I was making with Atlanta and New Orleans. It's like once you get out of the cool shit, you're like, I don't feel safe here. Like, this feels sketchy.
Oh, man, I grew up...
Listening to M.O.P.?
Yeah. Like, by the time I was 15, I was driving into Jackson to buy weed, and Jackson is, quote-unquote, the dangerous city in Mississippi.
I can believe that.
Until... I mentioned it earlier. Until I see a burned out house, I'm fine.
Right.
If I see a decrepit house, whatever.
Whatever.
If I see some homeless people sleeping in that, whatever. I don't care. It's when I start seeing like houses that are burned out and people are still living in them. I'm like, oh, nobody gives a fuck what happens here.
Seeing
not at all. This whole building caught fire and burned down and nobody was here.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck.
And nobody left. Nobody left after the house burned down. They're just like, fuck it. I ain't moving.
I lost everything here. It looks like I'll just be homeless here. But there was a bigger swath of that in Atlanta. Like, that's what I did was I delivered pizzas on a place called Metropolitan Parkway. Mm-hmm. And it was over towards that part of town. Buckhead was a big part of, like, where I would deliver pizza to.
Right.
And, yeah, man, they love Outkast in Atlanta, which is fine with me because
yeah.
I love Outkast too.
Outkast is the shit.
Yeah, so it's like it worked. But yeah, everywhere you would go, there'd be a random Outkast song playing and people buying lottery tickets. Man, like that was everything in the part of Atlanta I was staying in. It was just like lottery tickets, hot wing places. So many goddamn hot wing places,
right.
And like. I was staying in a little town called Fayetteville,
mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's all there was. It was like a Walmart, a Kroger, and a bunch of hot wing places.
And lottery tickets.
Lottery tickets were sold everywhere. Lottery tickets were sold in gas stations everywhere.
I can't do lottery tickets, man. They give me a heart attack.
When I applied for jobs at gas stations, that was in the top five questions of each one. I was like, you know how to sell lottery tickets. I'm like, I can figure it out,
yeah.
Motherfucker. Like,
it's like, do they give me money and I hand them the ticket? Like,
yeah, I'm sure I input some sort of data, yeah. Like, this ticket number sold.
I can't do it, man, because I never realize how they work, or I never, like, I always get something different, and it's like I did, the latest one I did was the lucky number 13, or whatever, where it's like, you have your lucky numbers, and then you scratch to see if you got those numbers and whatever you want. I didn't realize that, so I just started scratching. The first one I did was $20,000. I was like, what the fuck? And then I read the instructions closely, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, one time, this is how bad I was. Burger King was doing some scratch stuff for just free... Or, no, it was maybe you could win some money, but it was also free hamburgers, free whatever. And then I scratched something, and it was like, you win 2 free hamburgers. And I was so excited, and I scratched the other ones to see, like, oh, what else could I win? And then I was just like, oh, hey, Mom, look, I won 2 free hamburgers. Like, oh, Timothy, you weren't supposed to scratch those other spots. You're supposed to pick one. So I couldn't even win hamburgers.
Yes.
Even when they were handed to me.
Well, that's why it was always the easiest one would was return this top for a free soda. You remember those? That was the easiest one because you just walk in with a fucking top in your pocket. And
boom, right.
It was done.
Easy peasy.
Every now and again, I fuck with those scratch offs. I like them. I've never won anything over $3, you know, like, usually it's, like, free ticket, and then they're like, you gotta pay for the tax on this. I'm like, okay.
Jesus Christ.
Whatever. But it's just, that's just a way for, because you're never gonna be like, okay, here's 7 cents. You're gonna be like, right. Okay, here's $3, just give me
just
two
give, yeah, exactly. That's how they get you.
Yeah.
They're trying to give you that sickness, man.
I don't know. Like, yeah, I've never had that with gambling. Like, I don't find it that fun or anything.
Weed dealers should do that. It's like they get little
scratch-offs.
Yeah, but it's you win a free gram, and then you hand it to us like, well, you gotta pay the tax on it, and then like, okay, well, fuck it, give me 2 grams.
Well,
fuck it, give me 2 8-balls of coke if that's how you're gonna be. You got them. Because there's no way you're gonna do 2 8-balls of coke and not be fucking addicted.
that's probably a fair assessment. The most cocaine I ever did, I don't know the most cocaine I ever did at one time, but like when I was doing cocaine the most, that's what made me stop, is I realized I was like, oh, it's 4:30 in the afternoon.
Right.
And I'm going to score fucking $40 worth of coke.
Oh, man.
And $20 worth of weed. It was trash, dude.
I don't like... the high of doing coke is like how I've always felt when somebody punched me in the head. It's just like it looks like you're looking through the world through like a little bitty tunnel.
Your
sensory shot. You don't know what the fuck's going on. You don't know how you're acting. Like, you don't know if you're in your right mind or not. I've always been more of a weed guy.
I get when I'm doing hard drugs, or when I did hard, I haven't done anything other than weed and over a year, and the last thing hard I did was mushrooms.
Right.
Like,
I don't even consider that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I get real solitary. I'm one of those weirdos.
Right.
I'm like, let me be by myself. Because, like, I know I can handle my shit. I don't know if you can handle your shit. And if we're together and you can't handle your shit...
You don't want to be the babysitter.
Not that I don't want to be the babysitter. I don't want to have to start worrying about, like, are we going to have to call the cops? Are we going to have to call the doctor?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I've got a buddy who I grew up with who, like, passes out a lot of the times.
Right,
Or not, like, a lot of times, but, like, when we're doing drugs, it seems to come up more than anything. Mm-hmm. And, like... That would always freak me out. Like, he would come too.
Yeah.
Every time that motherfucker came too.
But when you're like, high, when you're high, I'm sure you're paranoid.
For
it's
those
like, but
30
what
seconds, yeah. I'm like, oh, God, the worst is running through my mind. Because I'm 17, you know, like, and I'm fucked up on whatever, like, I could get my hands on. And I'm like, oh, God, no. I'm just like, yeah, man, just let me be by myself. One time I took a bunch of acid and everybody was going to this house party and I was like, no fucking way.
Right.
So I just got them to bring me back home and I sat in the living room with my dad and we watched The Last Waltz,
the band's last thing,
and just talked for like 20 minutes. And I'm sitting there, I'm watching this. During this, like, Eric Clapton's doing his little thing, and like he's just like he's bending the strings is what he's doing, but like the way he's putting torque on the neck made me see it as he's bending the whole neck of the guitar.
Exactly.
So then the whole neck of the guitar starts bending up, and the head of the guitar comes up and just kisses him on the cheek, and it goes back down. He's like, blah, blah, like whatever song he's playing. I can't even remember at this point. I was in there watching that, and Dad's telling me about how it was like when he got back from Vietnam, and I'm like, oh, this is the most I've ever bonded with my father, and I am fucked out of my gourd.
Oh, my God. Well, I think that's an excellent story to end on.
Yeah, you'll never hear this.
Daniel, thank you so much for stopping by again. Allowing me to stop by.
No.
And harass you.
You're in your car this time.
That's right. I've been in a position of power this entire time.
You've been holding a gun to my head.
I'm going to delete the last episode we did, do this one, because I feel more confident.
All right,
I feel like I was more me in this one.
Yeah. All right, so Timmy's got a big dick and lots of money. Is that what you wanted me to say?
You're shaking. It's like, all right, Gallagher, we're ready for you. All right, thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much to Daniel Palmer for being on the show again, and thank you so much for listening. I'm sure that almost killed all of your brain cells, but I appreciate it all the same. Be sure to send in your favorite Toby Bible Verses clips or anything at ComedianTwat on both Instagram and Twitter, and I will see you next time.